Jewish, we had Muslim in the room, we had Christian in the room. You know, sometimes what happens is pain that is caused by powerful politicians who forget that what they ought to be doing is picking up humanity rather than pulling down humanity. It actually has a reversal effect, and it makes people come together because it's so blatant, so ugly, so harsh, and so mean. And that's what we see happening. And people are not believing that ICE has ever gone anywhere. They are saying they may go underground, they may stop for a minute, but just like what you see in Charlotte, the people that were planning there, even before we went down on Monday, they've been planning, they've been training, they've been getting ready. And that's what we're saying to cities and states and states all over the country. Get ready. Don't wait. Get ready now. And get ready by connecting the dots. Get ready by connecting the dots. We must organize this pain, the same pain that is caused by millions of people losing health care, millions of people losing their food stamp, millions of people's voting rights being challenged, millions of people without living wages, and millions of immigrants being challenged and harmed and deported. We must connect all of that pain into a powerful movement. And then lastly, Amy, this is
we
not
have new. 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is we also said this is not new. This has a deep American history. People have had to fight it for years, and it's our time now that we have to fight it, and we must do it together.
And as we move into this holiday weekend, people should remember, according to Feeding America, 1 in 5 children are going hungry in the United States. That's despite the government reopening. Bishop William Barber, president of Repairers of the Breach, National Co-Chair of the Poor People's Campaign, thanks so much for being with us. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now!
I'm Molly, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it's an all-night Jimi Hendrix birthday party at the Wiggle Room the night after Thanksgiving, starting at midnight Friday, November 28th until 6 a.m. Saturday, November 29th on your favorite community radio station, KBOO. 6 hours of electric church with Jimi Hendrix for his birthday.
Your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up now on the KBOO Evening News, ICE may be trying to build a detention facility in Newport.
Oregon's Attorney General issues a warning that they will criminally investigate federal officers who abuse their authority.
And several national groups call a holiday boycott of corporations that are complicit with ICE.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, November 26th, 2025. I'm Anna Wilcox.
And I'm Danny Shy. Newport Mayor Jan Kaplan reported that a federal defense contractor, Team Housing Solutions, quote, has called multiple hotels up and down the coast as recently as this morning, looking for as many as 200 hotel rooms for a year, end quote. Team Housing Solutions is a Texas-based contractor that specializes in quickly arranging housing for federal agencies, including the Department of Homeland Security. In early November, the company inquired about leasing 4 acres of land at the Newport Municipal Airport. There's been speculation that ICE is planning a new facility in Newport. Oregon is one of the few states in the country that does not have a large-scale immigration detention facility. In other ICE news, Woodburn recently joined Hillsborough, Forest Grove, Cornelius, and Washington County in declaring a state of emergency in response to federal immigration enforcement in the majority Latino town. Woodburn's emergency declaration states that ICE arrests have led to widespread fear among Woodburn residents, leading to a measurable decline in people going to work and children going to school.
Oregon's Attorney General Dan Rayfield, along with prosecutors from Oregon's three largest counties, have warned the federal government that they will criminally investigate federal officers who exceed their authority during immigration crackdowns. Rayfield, along with District Attorneys Nathan Vasquez from Multnomah County, Kevin Barton from Washington County, and John Wentworth from Clackamas County, said in a joint letter released earlier this week that they are worried by recently documented federal tactics. The letter discussed the way in which federal officers have made immigration arrests and how they have policed protests outside the ICE facility in Portland. Federal officers were filmed last month holding a group of teens at a drive-through coffee shop at gunpoint. Last week, they broke through a car window to arrest a teenage high school student on his lunch break. The letter says, quote, "Oregonians have repeatedly reported the use of excessive force by federal officers throughout Oregon. The frequency and nature of these incidents suggest a pattern of behavior on behalf of your agencies and may be violations of Oregon law," end quote. Their letter is addressed to U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi and U.S. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. The letter that Oregon attorneys and prosecutors sent to the federal government also points out that local police from the Portland Police Bureau and Oregon State Police have been struck by chemical munitions flung by federal officers outside the ICE facility.
The Oregon attorneys have five specific requests of the federal agencies. 1, end all unconstitutional actions in Oregon. 2, better train their personnel. 3, communicate better with local law enforcement. 4, investigate complaints and excessive force against their own officers. And 5, cooperate with any investigation into violations of Oregon law. Federal officers are not always expected to comply with state laws because the Supremacy Clause legal principle says U.S. law takes precedent. But the Oregon attorneys gave notice that the federal officers are not untouchable. They wrote, quote, "The Supremacy Clause only affords immunity to federal officers from the state criminal prosecution in the reasonable discharge of their duties and not beyond," end quote. Currently, there are no open cases or investigations into the conduct of federal law enforcement officers. But there has been significant uptick by federal law enforcement in Oregon. There has been more than 550% increase in calls to hotlines, where people report ICE officers making stops, and federal agents made more than 560 immigration arrests in Portland in October. Evidence provided during the recent trial concerning whether Donald Trump can dispatch National Guard troops to Portland did document the frequent disproportionate use of force against protesters. And an official with the Federal Protective Service testified during the trial that federal officers' tactics have led to 3 internal use of force investigations. The Portland Police Bureau declined to comment, but said it's had communication with federal partners about an incident in which pepper balls were fired at a Portland police sergeant. Officials at the U.S. Department of Justice and Homeland Security also did not respond to requests for comment.
The advocacy group Beyond the Ballot announced yesterday a boycott campaign called Not With My Dollars, ICE Out of My Wallet. The campaign targets major corporations that, quote, enable profit from and directly collaborate with immigration and customs enforcement and the broader racist policies of the Trump administration, end quote. Victor Rivera, the organization's executive director, wrote, quote, "Every dollar spent at a complicit corporation is a dollar funding the abduction and disappearance of our neighbors. It's time to make corporate complicity unprofitable for good," end quote. The boycott targets Amazon, Whole Foods, Dell, Microsoft, Spotify, Home Depot, and Target. Beyond the Ballot said, quote, "Unlike other consumer boycotts, Not With My Dollars is designed for long-term pressure and escalation. To be removed from the boycott list, each targeted corporation must fulfill the specific demands outlined for its company," end quote. More details are available at beyondtheballot.org/iceout.
A new report is highlighting the extremely high levels of childhood trauma among juveniles who are tried as adults, and Illinois juvenile justice advocates, and those across the country. Judith Ruiz Branch has more on the story.
juveniles who are tried as adults. Illinois juvenile justice advocates and those across the country are calling on reforms that consider these experiences before, during, and after interactions with the court system. The research from Human Rights for Kids show of the more than 2,200 incarcerated people surveyed, greater than 80% experienced four or more adverse childhood experiences, a rate far higher than the general population. In a recent webinar, report co-author Aiden Leslie explained many respondents endured severe abuse beginning around age six, had been trafficked or exploited, or had committed offenses linked directly to their abuse. He says almost none had their trauma taken into account by judges during their sentencing.
Once children end up in the adult justice system, they face a level of repression and victimization that only serves to compound the trauma they've already experienced, while failing to actually address that trauma. The justice system itself also tends to serve as an extremely intimidating and traumatic experience.
Leslie says some of the profound developmental impacts of trauma include higher rates of mental health conditions among youth in the system, with especially severe experiences for girls and Native American children. Illinois data shows Black youth are also disproportionately transferred to adult court. The report outlines a pattern in which early trauma goes unaddressed, making youth more vulnerable to exploitation and eventually funneling them into the justice system, where their trauma typically worsens. Leslie says of those surveyed, few had legal representation during early police contact, and many were incarcerated with adults or placed in solitary confinement.
More than a quarter had been in foster care or CPS custody at some point, and significant percentages had diagnosed disabilities or been hospitalized for mental health care. All of these instances represent potential opportunities for investment and services for these children in an attempt to neutralize these negative impacts.
While Leslie praised new policy opportunities like Medicaid continuity for incarcerated youth and federal trafficking relief legislation, he says they're calling for reforms like trauma screening, limiting adult prosecution for traumatized children, and judicial discretion in sentencing. For Illinois News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch.
Senator Mark Kelly blasts the Pentagon for a, quote, absurd, end quote, investigation, as the White House says a Ukrainian peace deal is within reach. More childcare workers run for political office, and experts offer tips for difficult Thanksgiving conversations. With that and more, it's Edwin J. Vieira with 2025 Talks.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The whole thing's almost comical. We basically repeated the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and they're saying that's in violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It's absurd.
Arizona Democratic Senator Mark Kelly says a new Pentagon investigation of him is a sign that the administration doesn't understand or doesn't care about military justice or the Constitution. Kelly is a former Navy pilot and astronaut. He and other Democratic military and intelligence veterans in Congress issued a video telling troops they have to defy, quote, illegal orders. That's U.S. law, but the video drew the ire of President Trump, who called it seditious and maybe punishable by death. Others on the video say they're being investigated by the FBI. Ukraine has agreed to the much-changed outline for a peace deal from the Trump administration. An initial draft was decried as a Kremlin wish list, but Russia looks likely to reject the version rewritten, with input from Kyiv and European allies. Under pressure from Trump, the Indiana State Senate is now preparing to take up a House redistricting plan. It's not clear if the new congressional maps more favorable to the GOP will pass, and several lawmakers report swatting attacks and threats of violence over the issue. Childcare professionals who say that the system is broken are running for office. Corrine Hendrickson couldn't afford to keep her rural Wisconsin center open, and that's why she's running for state senate. Federal guidelines say families should be able to get childcare for about 7% of their income, but Hendrickson calls it heartbreaking that many families have to spend more than twice that.
We're supposed to be able to live the life that we choose, and the government should stay out of our way, but because our government is not investing, it's actually getting in our way.
The North Dakota State Supreme Court has overturned a lower court ruling and upheld the state's 2023 abortion ban. Amy Jacobson with Prairie Action ND says that means health dangers for patients and legal confusion for physicians. She says the laws are sometimes intentionally baffling and frightening.
It is illegal to cross states and go out and receive care, and we really want people to know that. And sometimes intentionally, abortion bans are intended to scare people.
Supporters of the ban say the law protects unborn children, and in the courtroom, they argued pro-choice groups relied on hypothetical situations to challenge the statute. Democracy is unfolding at the dining room table this week, wanted or not. A poll from the American Psychiatric Association finds Americans are increasingly anxious about this year's holidays. Psychologist Christine Miles says many family blowups start with making listening mistakes, not intense ideological clashes.
And that's what makes our family experience so rich, but it's also what makes it highly conflictual. But we want to maintain the relationships because, you know, that's what helps us feel grounded and important and connected in this world.
She says we should start from a position of curiosity and suggests we ask ourselves if we would rather prove a point or leave the holidays with our relationships intact. I'm Simone Perez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for news in depth. At 6, it's The Underground, where the Youth Collective holds an election. Then at 7, Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather will be a low of 46. Tomorrow's weather will be a high of 53 and a low of 47. Today, in 1865, Lewis Carroll published Alice in Wonderland, here in America. The quote of the day is Lewis Carroll's Alice of Alice in Wonderland. She says, "No use going back to yesterday, because I was a different person then."
The Navajo Nation Council is considering a motion to remove the tribe's president, Boo Nigrin, and vice president, Rochelle Montoya, after a special prosecutor accused President Nigrin of misusing government funds. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Navajo Nation Council is considering a motion to remove the tribe's president, Boo Nigrin, and Vice President Rochelle Montoya after a special prosecutor accused Nigrin of misusing government funds. As KJZZ's Gabriel Pietrazio reports, the council could have taken action as early as Thursday until a judge in Window Rock, Arizona, stepped in.
Council Speaker Crystalyn Curley sponsored the bill to oust the pair. Nigrin has accused Curley of seeking his removal so she can take his place.
All I can say, this is not a political move on my part. This is a necessary step to protect our nation's financial stability.
Two-thirds of the 24-member council must approve, and it's unclear whether Curley has the votes. On Friday, she released 465 pages detailing allegations and hoped for a swift vote while acknowledging that delegates needed time to examine the evidence.
Given the complexity of the issue, the number of alleged violations, and the volume of documents involved, pretty sure that a vote before Thanksgiving is very unlikely. A more realistic timeline would be after the holiday.
That timeline changed Tuesday when a judge granted a motion from Nigrin's attorneys to block the bill pending a hearing next month. As for Vice President Montoya, who was elected independently from Nigrin, she denies involvement with any of his alleged violations and says he stripped her duties, resources, and budget. One invoice documented a $3,000 loan for travel expenses Nigrin said he needed because of an argument with his wife, Apache County Attorney Jasmine Blackwater Nigrin. He also spent $3,000 renovating his Apache County home and borrowed nearly $1,200 renting tables and chairs for his daughter's birthday party. Another $6,000 went directly to his then chief of staff, Patrick Sandoval, to cover car repairs. Sandoval also got a loan to gift Nigrin a $1,500 birthday present. It's unclear, according to the receipts, whether anything has been paid back. When asked, Nigrin's staff reiterated he would not comment on any specifics. For National Native News, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
This year, five Native Americans were among 29 people named Bush Fellows. The Bush Fellowship provides up to $150,000 over 2 years for fellows to build on their leadership skills. In the third of five profiles, Brian Bull of Buffalo's Fire highlights an Oglala Lakota advocate for the arts and boosting financial support for creative Natives.
Lori Puyer has been active in the arts for decades, But beyond making art, she also wanted to find ways to make it sustainable within tribal communities. When Puyer became active with the First Peoples Fund in 1999, she coordinated research into the arts in Native communities, particularly the Pine Ridge Reservation.
And through that research, we found that 71% of the households were engaged in some sort of tradition-based, home-based business, but 52% of that household was tradition forms of art. So that's how the Rolling Res Arts Bus was born, because we were seeing the needs for artists, and then being in a community the size of Pine Ridge, it was hard for artists to get to our training workshops, and we'd partner with Lakota Funds, which is a loan fund, and it was really our artist idea.
The Rolling Res Arts Bus has traveled 8,000 miles across the Pine Ridge and Cheyenne River reservations and even visited the Sacred Stone Camp at Standing Rock. It also doubles as a mobile bank and teaches Native artists about running a business and accessing credit and capital. Puyer says she'll use her Bush Fellowship to explore socially responsible ways to invest in Native artists that align with cultural values. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
A child advocacy group is urging parents not to buy artificial intelligence toys for their children this holiday season. Catherine Carley has more on the story.
A child advocacy group is urging parents not to buy AI toys for their children this holiday season. A growing number of action figures, dolls, and stuffed animals are embedded with chatbots using AI technology to communicate with kids like a trusted friend and mimic human emotions. Rachel Franz with the Boston-based nonprofit Fair Play says the toys are being marketed with a promise of safety and learning, despite mounting evidence showing their potential for harm.
Right now, there is no research and no regulations that are in place to protect kids from the multitude of potential harms that can come from AI toys.
A recent report finds some AI toys will talk with kids about sexually explicit topics or offer advice on where to find matches or knives, and often have limited or no parental controls. Earlier this year, OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, announced a partnership with Mattel, one of the world's largest toy makers. Child advocates warn that AI toys use the same technology that's created unsafe and even dangerous experiences for teens online, including urging them to self-harm. Fake AI-generated images have even been linked to teen suicides. Franz warns AI toys not only prey on children's trust, but can record and analyze sensitive conversations, even when they appear to be off.
Most of the AI toys that we've looked at are collecting a lot of different types of data, and most of their privacy policies outline that they will sell them to third parties.
Franz says AI toys often urge children not to stop playing with them and can crowd out the imaginative, child-led play that research shows is vital for emotional regulation, social skills, and real learning. She says the best toys for kids are 90% child and 10% toy. For New Hampshire News Connection, I'm Catherine Carley.
Now, Rick Smith brings us 2 minutes of labor facts from 1929. Rick Smith has a history.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1829. That was the day that William Silvis was born in Armagh, Pennsylvania. Growing up, he was one of 12 children. His father was a wagon maker and taught him the trade. At the age of 18, he became an ironworking apprentice. His skills took him to Philadelphia, where he found work. But ironwork was changing. More and more foundries were hiring unskilled labor or helpers to assist in production. They could pay these workers significantly less and undercut the wages of the skilled iron molders. In response, William joined his local iron molders union. But he knew if they were to really have any power as workers, they would need to join together with other locals. In 1863, he brought together 21 locals to form the Iron Molders International Union. 3 years later, he embarked on an even more ambitious project, forming a national labor organization for workers across the trades. Under his leadership, the National Labor Union grew to 300,000 members strong. William shared his thoughts on the importance of labor in a speech to the Iron Molders Union in 1864, saying, quote, "If working men and capitalists are equal co-partners, composing one vast firm by which the industry of the world is carried on and controlled, Why do they not share equally in the profits? Why does capital take to itself the whole loaf, while labor is left to gather up the crumbs? Why does capital roll in luxury and wealth, while labor is left to eke out a miserable existence in poverty and want? Sadly, after all these years, William's questions are still being asked today. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at laborhistoryin2.
New Jersey City expands its urban forest and trains their residents to care for the trees. Dr. Anthony Lizowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. In April, volunteers gathered at Elijah Perry Park in Camden, New Jersey, to plant trees. The event kicked off We Grow Camden, an initiative to plant 3,000 trees across the city over the next few years.
A ton of residents stopped through to not just ask what we were doing, but to thank us for doing it. We shared food. We gave away some shade trees for folks that wanted to plant, you know, in front of their home. Yeah, it was a really beautiful day.
Justin Dennis is with the Trust for Public Land, one of the groups leading the project. He says in many low-income Camden neighborhoods, trees are few and far between. So the sun beats down on dark surfaces like pavement that absorb heat, making those areas much hotter than leafier suburbs nearby. Trees help cool cities by providing shade and pulling heat out of the air, and they also filter air pollution and soak up stormwater. So We Grow Camden will help reforest the city and train local residents to care for the trees as they grow.
Trees that are well-maintained along a block or within a community, they tell a story that a community matters, right? And that its future is worth nurturing. It's not just taking care of what's important today, but looking forward in that 50 and 70 years to say, hey, this is your place, stay here.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Now it's time for Point Puzzle. The Point Puzzle is a weekly puzzle. Every week, a winner from the last week will be selected from emailed answers and announced on air, and a new puzzle will be posed. Pearl Stark brings us the puzzle.
It's time for the puzzle.
Last week, I asked you to take a country, reverse the letters, and phonetically, you have the capital of another country on the same continent. Well, the answer is Laos, which becomes Seoul. Our winners this week are Barry and Wendy Hurwitz, who stream KPOV from Newton, Massachusetts. We've got another country puzzle this week. Start with a country that has two vowels. Drop one vowel to get an adjective that might describe you Thanksgiving morning, but hopefully won't describe you on Thanksgiving evening. As a bonus, if you replace that remaining vowel with the dropped one, you get a second adjective I hope not to experience on Thanksgiving. So again, start with a country that has two vowels. Drop one vowel to get an adjective that might describe you Thanksgiving morning, but hopefully won't describe you on Thanksgiving evening. As a bonus, replace the remaining vowel with a dropped one, and you get a second adjective that I hope not to experience on Thanksgiving. When you have an answer, send your name, your answer, and the station on which you hear the puzzle to puzzle@kpov.org. I'll select one winner from among any answers received by this Saturday. This has been Pearl Stark with your Point Puzzle for the week of November 24th. The Point Puzzle is produced at KPOV, High Desert Community Radio.
Pilot programs in the U.S., Canada, and Finland show that universal base income can improve health, education, as well as increase trust in governments. Mandy Stapleford has more on the story.
Good news, good planet, good news.
It's time now
for your good news for a good planet. Empowering lives with UBI. What is the key to a happier, healthier society? Well, it's security. When everyone receives a regular sum of money to cover their basic needs. This concept of universal basic income, or UBI, is being explored across the globe. A German website called My Basic Income is giving away $1,200 monthly for an entire year to randomly selected people with no strings attached. The results are impressive. People have not quit their jobs in droves as some feared. Instead, they're using this financial cushion to examine their lives and reimagine what is possible. One single mother finally had the breathing room to start her own business. Another recipient struggling with burnout reduced his workload to prioritize his mental health. These stories, echoed by hundreds more, challenge the misconception that guaranteed income makes people lazy. Instead, it empowers them to pursue their passions and contribute more fully to society. The largest UBI experiment to date is providing payments to 20,000 people for 12 years. Pilot programs in the US, Canada, and Finland show that UBI can improve health, education, as well as increase trust in governments. As trials expand, UBI offers the potential to reshape our approach to social welfare, providing a safety net that promotes well-being and enables individuals and communities to thrive. And this is Mandy from Good News, GoodPlanet.com.
Dan worries what a Trump told no will do next. KBOO's news poet Dan Raphael has more.
Trump caved on releasing the Epstein files. The indictments Trump commanded on Comey and James got thrown out of court. Appeals for sure. He was jovial with Mondani, who still says Trump is a fascist. No one cares about drug boats being murdered. Marjorie Taylor Greene is bailing out. Senator Captain Astronaut Mark Kelly could be court-martialed for reminding soldiers they should not obey illegal orders. Donnie can't stand being told no. He'll lash out. Imagining what Trump will do to get back our attention and the devotion of the MAGA folks frightens me. As we're maybe at the stage of numbness from repeated outrages and claims, it'll require getting someone else so mad they kill or injure some Americans, and we'll need to, like our dear ally Israel, retaliate 100 or 1,000-fold. Maybe Santa will give a few Senate and congressional Republicans some heart, brains, and courage, things some Supreme Court justices could also use. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.